This is Deanna. We will take calls after the next break at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Richard Dwayne Willing. His website is rdwaynewilling.com. Richard is the author of Money, the 12th and Final Religion, and The American Caliphate of Biswag, the Final World Order. And Biswag stands for British Israel Zionist World Occupation Government. And we've been talking about the anniversary of the Watergate break-in, which occurred on June 17th, 1972. Now, Nixon was quite obedient to some of the directions given by his handlers. In other words, he did open up China to, he normalized relations with, trade relations with that regime. He went to China in 1972. He traveled to Beijing, I think it was in February. And in May of 1972, he visited Moscow. So he did go along, he was going along with some of the trade objectives of the, of his handlers, but not quite everything.
Well, I think if he'd had his way, his version of trade would have come as a cold shower for the free traders. Because of the Soviet system and the Mao system, what they are, what they were, I think you'd have had to work out a special type of trade currency that would have been more on the order of the German, what they called the compensation agreements. Whereas you can deliver your wheat if you give me X Volkswagens and some coin, you know. So there would have been a, it would have been an item by item basis, very controlled. And the German system was of the 30s was probably the only, well, it was the only one that pulled out of the Depression without a war and without preparing for war. They didn't prepare for war until 1942. That was the dumbest administration that ever stood in one place. But they had this technique of compensation agreements and local production. In fact, the Germans got into World War II by trick, because the war was supposed to be over after Dunkirk. This is part finance. But the British said, okay, you let our troops come home from Dunkirk, and we'll sign a peace deal. Hitler said, good, let's do it.
Well, I don't know that was an absolute policy. Whoops.
Well, they came back with the requirement that Hitler had come back into the international financial market and issue bonds. He had to issue debt to come back into the international market, and he refused.
Well, of course he refused. Yes.
He said, we reversed the principle of making capital exist for trade. We make trade exist for the people. And that's demonstrated in the Volkswagen story and all the other stories. But so it's possible, it's already been established, it's possible to have a thriving economy without free trade.
And free trade basically isn't free. It costs the American population the production. It just is very expensive. It has put us in the economic situation that we now experience.
Well, yeah. Well, fortunately, the saving grace for the U.S. is that the U.S. dollar is the universal currency. It is the religion of the planet, thankfully for U.S. to a point. We've been allowed for 50 years to do whatever we want to do, because we could always provide money to back up whatever we wanted to do. But
it's very inflated now, and it's not worth as much as it certainly was before. Okay, we do have to take a 3-minute break. We will take calls after the break, so stay tuned.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. use for emergencies, or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling. And with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days? And keep all your money? You can! It's called Zero Debt Guarantee. And it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet. And we guarantee the results in writing. Call now. 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info. Or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Our guest today is Richard Dwayne Willing. His website is rdwaynewilling.com, and we will take calls at 800-313-9443. Let's talk just a little bit about the impeachment, and I wrote an article some time back called The Power Elite Playbook, where I talked about Hillary Rodham, as was her name then, along with Fred Thompson, Trent Lott, and Howard Baker, excuse me, who were on the legal staff of the House Judiciary Committee during the Watergate fiasco to help prepare articles of impeachment against Nixon. And she landed this job right out of law school thanks to Ted Kennedy and Burke Marshall. And allegedly, her legal procedures were ethically flawed. And of course, later on, Bill Clinton took up residence in the Arkansas governor's mansion with the assistance of the very influential Winthrop Rockefeller. So, I mean, it's just, you know, when you look at the background of these people and the fact that that Nixon was encouraged to take a Nelson Rockefeller, make him the vice president. I mean, it's just all very interesting and intertwined.
Was the key. I mean, that was sort of the marshmallow on the topping that clinched it for me. This is a closed club, and those of us out here are running a risk if we think we're going to do anything about it. Very scary period, and very serious. Those guys are scared to death. Those guys, the financial world, the top financial people, they're scared to death of losing their control over the creation of money, which is the, you know, the creation of checking accounts. Whoever takes over control of creating checking accounts, takes over control of the money system.
And credit cards.
Credit cards are a form of check.
Okay.
Because they can, you know, they can change that balance anytime they want to, which is another issue. But the use of the credit card during the 80s, starting with, of course, the Discover card with, Preston Martin, I think they could see that the economy had basically started to fizzle, so they used the credit card as a substitute for income. And if you were at home alone, you got a card through the mail that said you were worth $30,000. You hadn't worked in 2 months. you were in great shape. And this started the boom that sort of quit in 2008. And it went on for a long time. So the use of the credit card, which is, you know, bank credit, which is a shared notion of confidence between a people, was very useful to the political beginning of free trade. How can you be against free trade when everything's going so well? Everybody's
sure.
got money. And the fact that the companies are disappearing in your neighborhood is offset by the fact you just got another credit card with a balance of $10,000 or $15,000, a credit balance, you know.
Right.
So this was very well done and very clever and very deliberate. And I'm convinced in my own feeble mind that Biswalk has a hate on for America. They really want it. They want to get a slam dunk on Uncle Sam sooner or later.
Sure.
And most Americans don't get it because they think of themselves as well-meaning and competent and accurate and fair, and their constitution is an item of worship. But unfortunately, if you tell the monarchs and the rabbis and the priests about it, they think it's loathsome. So you've got different cultural views here that nobody's talking about.
Right. Except you. You're talking about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, and the credit card, that was the beginning of opening up trade in China. And then you have, of course, you had the war in Vietnam, which was very influential in getting a jump into China. And, of course, in implementing drug trade from that part of the world into this country. I mean, there were all kinds of things going on at that time that have put us where we are today.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Vietnam War was the two things, the space program and the Vietnam War, both of these are covering up the absence of a change in the American structure because we ran out of frontier. Kennedy was very honest. He said, whoops, we have to have a new frontier. So the whole mystique of the American individual, progressive, conservative, doer and shaker didn't have a frontier. We didn't have a frontier anymore. All we had was the assembly line. So we shifted out of the frontier mentality into the notion of a collectivist workers on an assembly line. And, of course, when China started delivering all of its products here, we don't even need the assembly line anymore. And so this was a Kennedy observation. I mean, he saw what happened, and they created the space program and the Vietnam War.
Right.
Now, the space program brought in every known engineer and technician from the British Commonwealth. We had more British engineers than they had in all of England. And
right.
They were paid well. They were given high clearances. They got access to the government at the highest levels.
And then you had the Star Trek television series that made it seem possible that that space travel was simple. I mean, look at all those people that are doing it. And of course, it was just a great big huge transference of money to build all of these things. You know, the thing that they supposedly traveled around on the moon with, and all. I mean, this was just a big transference of money from the U.S. government and the U.S. taxpayers to these corporations. And then, of course, you had the Cold War going on at that time, which basically was a big military buildup. Amazing stuff going on.
Yeah, and also at this time, during that, that was a hiatus of engineers. And I remember sitting with a bunch of engineers one day, and one of them was Jewish. And he came in and he said, oh, I just heard about this terrible thing in Europe. And he said, all these millions of people were killed and burnt up in these camps. And their theater, he was talking to the engineers who were manufacturing. So they got to talking about the numbers, and they were all kicking it around. They finally decided it was impossible. That if the crematorial devices had worked 150%, and they had a million of them, they could, you know, they had thousands of them, and they had enough fuel, that the number was crazy. So one of the Jewish engineers, he sat there for a minute. He says, I'm quitting engineering. I'm going to finance. That's where the money is. He disappeared. That was my first introduction to the notion of a Holocaust. And then it didn't resurface again until, you know, it's not formal until the Carter and Reagan administration start building museums and funding it.
Sure. And then you had the movie, the Holocaust movie in 1978. Put on by, it was a four-part series by NBC. And then you had the March in Skokie, which was a big psyop in order to bring attention to it. And there was a court case that went all the way to the Supreme Court. And that was all to bring attention to another way of transferring a lot of money to a particular group of people.
Yes, and these guys are very clever, and well, you have to ask the question, what is the purpose? What's the purpose of a Holocaust? Well, it disconnects your New Testament roots. That's what it surely does. And it brings you brings in Judaism as the moral authority. And the New Testament has been totally repudiated by a lot of TV preachers. I can't believe it. Anyway, this guy Hagee says, Israel is now superior to the Christian church. And he got away with it. He said that in 2005.
Wow. And
nobody's calling these guys to account. And also, the Holocaust conceals that there is an economic reality in Germany. There's an economic fact about finance and population and income security that's somehow lost in there or concealed in that period that we're not supposed to know about. And that's my impression. That's what it does. And so that's the purpose of the Holocaust. It's not so much about the millions or the thousands. It's just to obscure that 10-year period in Germany when a new economic system was in motion, was beginning to happen. And nobody knows how it works. And there was only one document formalizing it by name of a guy named Wagener, W-A-G-E-N-E-R. He wrote a 32-page paper, or a 40-page paper in 1932. About how the new economics will work because the stock exchange economics had failed. And
right.
And he said, we can do that. We can get around this. So he wrote this paper, 30, 40 pages. And he sat with Hitler and he explained it. Hitler stood up and said, don't you tell anybody about that. You're out of here. You're still my best friend, but you can't come to my office anymore. And do not discuss this paper with anybody. But they'd already sent out about 100 copies to the SA bosses. So,
well, I mean, he implemented Federer's plan, plan.
Yeah, but actually, I think it was Wagner's plan.
Okay, but he initially became introduced to the fact that the Jewish bankers were controlling everything when he was going to the early meetings. Okay, we do have to take a break soon here, but we do have a caller by the name of Richard. And so let's bring Richard up, and then we'll go to a break. Richard, welcome. Yeah, Richard. Okay, Richard, hang on. We're going to a break, and then we'll bring you back up after the break.
Heart rate. Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your two-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and super male and femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA survival course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Guest today is Richard Dwayne Willing. His website is rdwaynewilling.com. Let me read you something that Ambrose Bierce said. He is the creator of the Devil's Dictionary, and he defined politics as, and I quote, "a strife of interest masquerading as a contest of principles, the conduct of public affairs for private advantage," unquote. And we also have another Richard who called in. And Richard who called in. Okay, ask your question.
Follow Clint Richardson to the logical conclusion. We now have a corporatocracy control of the world economic activity, and I assume this is where Biswog comes in. But my question is, how does Walter Burian's analysis or evaluation fit in, and what about Max Keiser's idea to buy gold and silver to undermine the economic control?
Buy gold and silver, I'll start with the second one first. Gold and silver are sort of totems. We can handle those a little differently. They're not that central to any money system, and if they're allowed to become central, they become a problem. The first part was Walter Burian and Richardson. We've got a forest of smoke here. The holdings, like Clint has done that work, and he shows who owns what stocks. And I think Microsoft and Apple and one of the oil companies have got something like a billion shares at $1 billion, billions of dollars, spread out across the pension funds. Well, the pension funds are only interested in, and the corporations are only interested in, the share price staying up or going higher. That's all they're interested in. So if a share price starts to show some weakness, the pension funds, the corporatocracy, will get on the phone and say, pony up some cash and let's buy some shares. Now, the beauty of the market is there's 100 shares in my account, and I sell you one for $10. My 100 shares are now worth $1,000. Follow what I'm saying? You sell it back to me for $20. My 100 shares are now worth $2,000. So we're only trading one share of stock, but we're changing the value of the portfolio at some huge factor. That's why international stock exchange finance is just a swindle. A swindle waiting to dissolve. And, of course, that was forecasted 100 years ago. A guy named Friedrich Soddy looked at this and said this system will last 100 years and then become impossible. Well, he never told us what impossible is. We've been at this for 100 years now, and welcome to the age of impossible. But the notion of what Clint is pointing at, and he's treating all these shares as if they're wealth, and that wealth can vanish if there's a loss of confidence in those share prices. And those share prices will come down quickly if there's no desire to buy them. In other words, if one pension fund won't buy from another, and the banks won't buy it and so forth. So it's kind of a mirage. I think you could call it a financial mirage. And it's basically dishonest, because what's happening is that the only real money involved, other than the money paid by the people into the fund, the only real money being made is from the commissions, trading commissions, in the millions and hundreds of millions of dollars per year for some of the big pension funds. So that's what 40 or 50 guys on Wall Street are making, $20 million a year, and no real benefit is happening. Nothing's happening. The risk with Richardson is that he keeps treating it as value, as wealth, and probably, which came close in 2008, it looked like for a minute that the federal government was going to have to step in and say, oh, your fund really is worth $100 billion and not $20, you know. So the Fed would have to give. So, and that's the wonder of the whole system, is that the Fed can dictate what that number should be if it starts to collapse. I don't know if I helped on that, but anyway.
Well, my question is kind of, I see exactly what you see. This is how they're going to foreclose on America, and I'm looking for kind of a way to deal with it. And the only two solutions I see are North Dakota, which has its own banking system, and or Max Keiser's approach of buying tangibles and or commodities and staying out of the system.
I don't think you're going to escape the system. I think your only option is to burrow into it and take it over. I don't think you can escape from it.
And would that be Walter Burian's solution of taking back your local funds?
Yeah, you could do that. That's right. You could just sort of fail to call Wall Street when you got a deposit at your local bank from your pension fund contributions. All your people put the money in, you put it in the bank, and it stays there. And then there's a girl, Catherine Witt, I think. We'll talk about that after break.
All righty. Be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today. Clean out the toxins and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Today is Richard Dwayne Willing. His website is rdwaynewilling.com. And remember that we will be hosting a debate on the Holocaust on this program on Friday, this Friday, June 22nd, between Friedrich Paul Berg and Roberto Muhlenkamp. Okay, and you were just talking about Walter Burian and the actual worth of those pension funds. And I found that's very interesting. Were you and did you also bring up Catherine Austin Fitz's name?
Catherine Austin Fitz. That's right. Now, she has got a pretty clear picture of how money should be employed locally.
Absolutely.
And so, we don't need Wall Street, and we don't need insurance companies. The insurance companies for profit are just a scandal. And Wall Street, of course, is just a pump, a huge economic pump to take your money and make a few people really wealthy. That's
right.
All it does. Employing the money locally, now this would take a very dramatic stroke of the pen from an informed Senate and a Congress, a House. And they could do it, you know, just tell it tomorrow morning, Apple stock in your pension fund really is worth $2 billion, which it's not, of course. But anyway, then that could be just put into sort of a nominal bank deposit and start using it locally and just get rid of international finance. It can be done. and using the same basic techniques and even using the same valuations to a point. So nobody needs to perish financially in getting rid of Wall Street. And I think that's the great fear that I saw, is that they know they can be just vaporized and nobody will miss them, except they'll miss their millions. That's just my opinion. But Catherine Austin Fitz, yeah, she's got a good handle on local use of money.
Right. All right, if you'd like to call into the program, the number is 800-313-9443. And, you know, when you look at the history of the stock exchange and how it came into being in England, I believe in the 17th century, and it was basically just a way of making money, and they came up with the idea of the insurance companies about the same time, and you had, Lloyd's of London, and so... They're just basically ways of making money out of fear, especially with the insurance companies.
Yes.
In case something happens to you, you have to have auto insurance. Well, wouldn't it be just a lot better to pay the cost of an accident if you happen to have one than to pay an insurance company, $500-$600 a year? My word. When's the last time you had an accident?
That's right. Well, I did a study around the block once. There must have been 100 little cul-de-sac had about 100 houses in it. And I was looking at fire insurance and the damage insurance and all the other insurance. And so let's say it was $1,000. There were 100 houses. $100,000 of insurance revenue was leaving that place every year. I don't know when it was. So I walked around and I checked the fire department. When's the last time we had a major damage call? Hadn't had one in 10 years. So... And the average house price was, say, $100,000. So they were buying a new house almost every year, and they didn't. And the money was going away. It was just going away.
Sure.
And so that's why I don't have a lot of sympathy. But simple insurance, as mutual insurance probably should be. There are probably some other factors there, and like single payer health care. You know, I'm a socialist in that sense. I can't see why anybody should be forced to go bankrupt because of a terrible auto accident at age 55 or 35.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
So I'm a single payer person on most insurances. Now the stock exchange starts out. As 16ths, eighths, quarters, and halves. And that was the share of the cargo of a ship, East India Company ship, leaving Liverpool to go to Africa, trade linens and steels and pots and pans for slaves, put the slave on the ship, take them to Jamaica, take them off the ship, because they had to learn row crop agriculture and some English. And then load the ship with molasses, rum, and then hustle up to Charleston and up to Halifax and back to Liverpool.
Right.
So when it got back, your profit or your return on your sixteenth or eighth or quarter or half, that's how the profit was divided, the revenue of the ship net of costs.
Sure.
And so that's where
and of course, I'm sorry.
So that's how prices on the stock exchange were listed for years and years and years.
Right. And of course, the stock exchange has allowed governments to sell their loans or bonds and mercantile trading companies to acquire additional cash for foreign ventures, as you've indicated.
Yes, but the let me see now what they call them. I've forgotten the French name for the word of the...
Bourses.
The Huguenots. Are the ones that brought us the Bank of England. Now, most of the people want to talk about Rothschilds, terrible Rothschilds. So they probably are terrible. But it's the Huguenots that put it together to make the Bank of England. And they went to the Crown and said, Crown, you stole all our gold. You took our gold. And the Crown said, that's right. I'm going to keep the gold, too, because I'm the Crown. So the Huguenots said, well, I'll tell you what. If you'll promise us, if you'll give us a note for $10 million, we'll create $10 million based on your credit. King said, sure, fine. Make $20 million if you want, because I'm the king, right? So they created the, and they had to form a corporation, and they subscribed. They did not pay. They subscribed to like 10 million shares, let's say. Or a million, let's say, make it smaller, making a million shares. So 10 people subscribed to these shares, which meant that the bank opened that day that it was theoretically worth $10 million.
Right.
There was nothing in there. There was just the king's authorization and the subscriptions from the stockholders. Nothing was in there. But they allowed to print currency to the total value of the what the king had agreed to. And that begins your central banking. It's very simple. It's so simple it repels the mind, actually.
Right. All righty. Let's take some callers. We've got some callers lining up. Let's take Dave in Arizona. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question for the guest there. I wanted his opinion on mortgage-backed securities, collateralized credit default swaps, maybe go into the history of how these things were created and if there's any economic benefit to these things at all, which I don't think there is, and I was wondering if there's any way that they can be stopped.
They've already stopped, actually. They have no value. They're a lie. If you're selling me a mortgage, and I say, that mortgage looks pretty shady to me, man, and you say, no, it's really a good mortgage, right? And then you'll say, listen, there's AIG over here, and for $100, they'll guarantee the mortgage. I say, sure, okay, that's a deal, right? You've sold me this piece of paper, it looks a little shoddy, but I took $100 and I bought insurance on that this mortgage will pay off, right? Well, anyway, you leave town and the mortgage is no good. So I go to AIG and I say, hey, I bought this mortgage from a guy in Arizona and it's no good. And the AIG said, too bad, we're out of business. That's what happened in 2008.
Mm.
So that's simple. Now, there are mathematical calculations that will give value to that insurance thing, right? And these guys will swap those back and forth. And there's other ways of collateralizing debt. And those become just arithmetic fictions.
Mm-hmm.
They have no use. And if nobody pays and nobody complains, they'll disappear. You'll never know they were there. Unfortunately, you get a dumb one like AIG and most of the brokerage houses that had to become banks, and they bought that crap, and they couldn't be paid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's and it's really clever. An example is Citibank was lending money on mortgages, and they started to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Citi went to the government and said, geez, we're in big trouble here. We got to buy back. We got to cover all these mortgages, you know, because they're not paying. So then the Fed said, after the Citi got the money, then so the mortgages are in the box at Citibank, right? They have no value because they're not being paid. So Citi took them to the Fed and said, "Geez, we got all these mortgages here. We'd like to get some money." So they got paid twice. In this bailout deal, TARP deal, whatever.
Right.
So
these guys had to have known that these mortgages were going to fail. There's no way. There's no way they couldn't.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it was something in what? It's early in the 90s, early in the 80s, somewhere, and there was a huge market crash, I guess in 87. The stock market crashed in 87. And the Japanese came storming over and said, what happened to the land of the gold?
Right.
And they studied the market, and they said, the market is rigged and it's fraudulent. So the Japanese protected themselves. So from then on, it's hard to sell stock. And the dot-coms came along, and that was a bit of, and they failed. So it's really hard to sell stock in America now. But the one thing that stands like perfect in all its ways was the home mortgage. The American home mortgage had been paid for 200 years. And a very low risk rate, plus the fact that the real estate was always going up. Almost no risk in American home mortgages. So every known bank, major the money center banks, put on a drive to get mortgages. And that meant if you could make it into the mortgage office, you could get a mortgage, because that piece of paper became part of a securities package with the reputation of always paying. So it was easy to sell those mortgages. Now, because there was no stock. The stock had lost the market confidence.
These packaged mortgages now was this only possible because of the repealing of Glass-Steagall, or was this done before Glass-Steagall?
Glass-Steagall helped, but there was another bit of legislation that forced the local banks to send their mortgages to Wall Street to sell.
Okay.
Now that's a piece of legislation that probably could take a little examining.
Right. And I just had one last question. I don't know if it's a quick one, but if you could just go over kind of the general history of gold from Nixon to now, and to where you think its role is going to be in the future, maybe with a world currency, where you think that's headed.
Gold is you don't want to have too much of it, or you'll be robbed. There's no question about that if there's a crisis. But so gold is valuable to the individual in very small amounts. Not that you'd ever carry it around with you day to day, but if you ever had a crisis situation where you could vacate to another location, small amounts of gold would probably be handy for you. If somebody found out you had a lot, you'd be mugged. So as a world currency, it's not a chance among real people.
Right. But I don't know. I don't know about a world currency, but I was just wondering, because more central banks, they're adding to their reserves. So I was wondering what role that's going to play in terms of central banking.
They don't trust each other.
Okay.
They just don't trust each other. They're going to get pressed by somebody. And with some gold, and if a currency, if you were a central banker and you had a ton of gold and you owed somebody a ton of money, they would come and try to collect and you couldn't get the money, you might say, well, I got some gold here. It's worth 40 times more than it did today than it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're paying in gold.
Mm-hmm.
Settling differences in a crisis would be the only reason for a central bank to hold gold.
Okay. That pretty much answers my question.
Okay, thanks, Dave. All righty, let's take Robert in Pennsylvania.
Oh, good afternoon.
Hi.
Well, I kind of have a question. I'm not sure. I thought I was on the same page as this fellow, but he's kind of ping-ponged off the board here a little bit. And about 18 years ago, I was renting a building for my business, and we had a fire that burned down the entire building, and I had to carry insurance on that in case I burn it down so that the guy I was renting it from would get paid off. And I heard you make a statement saying that whatever you are proposing, we would no longer need an insurance to cover that?
No, you'd be part of your particular type of building would be in a pool, and those building owners would make a mutual contribution to buy say one building.
Yeah,
say,
you're exactly what I thought you were. You're exactly, you want the trains to run on time, and that falls under what's called Italian fascism, where everybody is linked together with syndicates, and you're more
syndicate.
Than a socialist.
That was it. That's a syndicalism, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're more than a socialist, my man. Now I know who you are.
Oh, you know what? Oh, you know the definition of socialism?
Yeah, I have it right up front of me. But you're more of a fascist as far as your economic theories than that. The Italian fascism models, where you have syndicates and corporate associations.
Well, that was pretty advanced thinking back in the 1919s, and never been fully developed.
Oh, so you're for that then?
I'm not against it.
I know you're not against it. So if you're not against me, you're for me. So therefore, you're for it.
Well, I don't know yet. I don't know what your version of it is yet. You'd have to come up
You said you're for syndicates. You're for corporate associations.
Oh, I think syndicates and bargaining units are very important in this particular age.
That's the basis for Italian fascism. That
promotes a
corporatist economic system.
Those were some very clear thinkers back then. I mean, they turned into the black
shirts. Look, I'm a libertarian. I'll say it. Why won't you say you're a fascist?
No, because it's got that connotation of bad. And I don't want to be bad.
So you're a good fascist then. Okay.
Yeah, right. Let me be a good fascist.
All righty. Thanks, Robert. All righty. We're going to a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes. So stay tuned.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Our guest today has been Richard Dwayne Willing. His website is rdwaynewilling.com. And our caller said he called you a fascist. Would you like to address that?
Fascist. I'm not a bad fascist. Anyway, this is a name that's used. We've got lots of names, commie and fascist and socialist. Those are three words that will just stop thought. And we got to stop stopping thought. We got to start thinking. And when he says fascist, he's talking about syndicalism, which was a vision created by early Mussolini before he became a socialist, in his circle. And the Italians were very advanced in industrial thinking for an industrial society right after WW1. And it was very active. Of course, it gets really difficult when you keep the monarchy and you have communists upsetting things. So syndicalism was a way of bargaining. Everybody in the society got a bargain. They had a chance to bargain their position. And the government was supposed to be made up. The Congress was supposed to be made up of people coming from the various bargaining positions. If you're a farmer or a machinist or a truck driver, school teacher, you have a common interest. And that common interest was supposed to be represented at a sort of a teacher's Congress. And then you would say, okay, we need a raise, we need time off, whatever. And you would take that to the Congress, and that way policy would be made. And also, a more important thing, they had a lot of concerns about job security, careers, time off, and pensions. These were very important. And then those are three things that are really serious trouble in America right now. It's the job, the career, and the pension. About 40% of the population has dropped out of that zone since Reagan. I mean, it's serious. It's really serious. So if we're going to use bad words, we're just going to have to preface them with bad communist or good communist or bad Nazi or good Nazi or bad fascist or good fascist.
Sure.
We've got to revise our interpretation
language here. Sure. Are you familiar or have you read the article at, LouRockwell.com? It was written by Charles A. Burris, and he said the name of the article is Watergate Plus 40. And Burris is a high school history teacher, and it's very interesting. You'll have to look at that article. But one of our listeners, Bob, said that that the break-in was first planned by John Dean to get sexual dirt on the Democrats concerning the Columbia Plaza call girl ring, which had the Democratic National Convention at the Watergate as one of its contact points for clients. And so basically they wanted to make this a sexual, issue. And the whole article is quite interesting, but you'll have to look at that article. It certainly isn't the kind of information that you've brought to the floor today.
No, I'm familiar with that. I'm familiar with the Columbia Circle. I know that area. And at that time, it wouldn't surprise me if Dean didn't put that out himself to kind of exonerate his involvement in more serious things.
Sure.
But it was rampant. So to say you're going to get the Democrats or they're going to get the Republicans, well, you can't draw that line.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being on the program today. We've run out of time. It's been delightful, as always. So we'll do this again soon.
Oh, good. Thank you. Looking forward.
Thank you. All righty. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
The next